this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Okay, 2025, welcome everyone. Thanks for coming today. It's good. The sun is out. Everyone enjoying the holidays. Hopefully you got some time off. It's good. I've got a couple of weeks off, and so my kids are learning. We don't have a pool, but you've got sprinklers, and I'll get one of those little shell buckets, and they're small enough to think that is the pool. Let's go in the pool, Dad. I'm like, great, I'll fill it up. Yep, no worries. Hope everyone's having a good time. 2025, first Sunday. It's good that you're here, kicking off the year in a good way. There's so much going on in church. It's exciting to hear all the new things. And, I am aware, though, kids are in the service, so I'll keep it short and snappy. Sometimes you hear has everyone heard the term military precision sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes like military grade, which is... That's definitely a misnomer. From my time in the military, that term never really came up. But military precision, certainly something you hear. Never really heard military speed. It's not something it's not necessarily well known for. But precision is definitely something that's necessary. We would do all kinds of things. I was in the army for a while, and you'd be doing all kinds of different shoots. And sometimes you had to make sure, like, to the millimeter, it had to be the right angle and the right elevation, because if a bullet goes in the wrong spot, it's potentially a little dangerous, especially when you're dealing with teenagers and high explosives. It's something that you had to be very, very careful for. I'm still in the army just as a reservist part-time, and they called up, I think it was a year ago now, and they said, oh, we've got a job. I kind of just do part-time job when it pops up. We've got a job. President Biden is visiting Australia, and we forgot to organise like his security and all this stuff. Can you come help in the headquarters in Sydney? I was, sure. It's like a week's worth of work. And so I went to this headquarters and we started planning, the motorcade arrives here and all the operations and security stuff around that. Anyway, sort of on day two of about a week, on the news, I remember seeing, we're in the ops room, so those rooms with like all the screens and all the radios and all this stuff, in one of those, and one of the screens is just like ABC News or something like that, and I saw it was like, oh, President Biden announces he can't go to Australia because something, I don't remember, maybe there was a national disaster or something in America, can't go to Australia, and so I'm sitting there organising his security for Australia going, oh, all right, well, I guess we'll pack it up then. Like, fair enough, and so there was a colonel in charge of the whole room. I'm like, so are we packing this up? Like, what are we doing? He goes, oh, well, no, we haven't been told to. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure it's not happening. Like, I just saw the press conference. I don't think... Anyway, and they're like, no, we can't stand down. Like, things might change. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm not in charge. I was a captain at the time, and I'm like, okay, he's a colonel, I'm a captain. That's the rank's fine. And so over the course of the next 3 days, but that didn't mean that we were really working, because everyone else in the ops room knew it was kind of off. So we just sort of hung around for 3 days. And at the time, I'm getting paid by the hour. So I'm like, all right, like, is the cricket on? Like, what's going on? Like, so we just kind of hung around for 3 days as the orders trickled from, the Prime Minister, who told the Chief of Defence Force, who told the Chief of Army, who tells the Forces Commander, who told the Brigade Commander, who finally told the Colonel in charge. And that took 3 days for it to all trickle down until finally they told, okay, guys, we're wrapping it up. We're like, okay, cool, we can go home. Yep, sweet. So very slow, but very precise. There was no miscommunication, although it wasn't a hard one to get wrong. So it was all aligned. In the military, sometimes we'd call that nesting. And that's a very, very dumb, easy example. But sometimes you'd get these huge grand-scale missions from a general, and then you have to boil that down to your kind of unit, and then you have to boil it down to your platoon, and then boil it down to a soldier on the ground saying, okay, cool, but like how far do I need to walk, and how long do I go without sleep, and when do I eat? Like it would boil all the way down to align exactly in those terms. It all had to align. And so what I want to talk about today as we go into 2025 is aligning with Christ. Are you aligned with Jesus Christ in your life today? Because if you're misaligned, certainly in the military, if you were misaligned, it would go horribly wrong. We used to say, if you're a millimeter off now, you'll be a mile off in 10 hours from now. And is your life aligned with Christ so that in a year from now, or when you look back on 2024, are you where God planned you to be? Or are you way off? Are your expectations off? Are you off from where you thought? Or are you way off where God wanted to be? Are those things even aligned? So it's important to consider aligning your values, beliefs, you know, your physical objects, your goals, missions are all in agreement or alliance. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, as you go into 2025 and you think about New Year and work and relationships and social and what you want to do and what you want to achieve, what is the foundation of those things is aligning with Christ, making sure that you're in his presence, making sure you're on his path. So we'll keep it short today, but the first point from Ephesians 2 is about seeking God's grace first. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So the first point I want to make is to align with Christ, you have to first seek God's grace. It is through grace that you have been saved. It is the gift from God. Janelle just spoke about this. It is a gift. It's not by working it out. It's not by figuring out a puzzle. It's not by through hard work. Not by works. It is a gift. It's given to you. Salvation is that gift of grace that you cannot earn. And it's foundational to understand this before we can align with Christ. It's part of aligning is accepting his grace. The core of our message here is that Jesus came and died on the cross so that you can accept his grace and not live under sin anymore. Before you consider your goals, or even just if you don't have grand, if you're not a New Year's resolutions kind of person, 2025, as you launch into it, you come back from holidays, the starting point of aligning with Jesus is always grace. It is unearned. We often don't even deserve it sometimes. His love is grace. His love and grace can't be transactional. It's not something that if I do this, then I'll get this level. And if I do these things and I get up to the next level, it's starting to sound like Scientology or something weird, but it's not like that. There's just one level, and that's in grace. Done. It's binary. You're either in the door, you're out. There's no levels to it. There's nothing complicated. It's just aligning in his grace. It starts with recognizing that his grace paves the way for us and that living in freedom is truth. So there is a truth in coming to his grace and living in freedom. It's living, and that truth is that you live without the guilt of sin. Janelle just spoke about this as well. It's not that you have to repent. It's that now you can repent and let go of that guilt. You don't have to walk through it with baggage. There's always that fun feeling when you go through an airport and you drop off your baggage and you're like, that is someone else's problems now. The analogy doesn't quite work because you want to pick it up later and you don't want to do that. So let's just cut that off. But maybe it's something else. You're dropping something off at the tip. But it's gone. It's not your problem anymore. Yeah? It's someone else's problem. You don't have to worry about it. You're not carrying it around. Tradies, you're wearing a tool vest. You take it off by the end of the day. Feels great. You don't have to carry it around anymore. That is the baggage of sin on your life that God is taking off you. It's a freeway. It's carving your path. So he's paved your way. It's the equivalent of going on a freeway as opposed to driving off-road. You know, Port Stephens, 2 hours, Matty. If you did that off-road, actually, I have done that off-road on a motorbike. It takes like 8 hours. Going up and down off-road takes way longer, and you get there and you're exhausted. That's trying to go through life not in God's grace. You're constantly fighting, you're spiritually sweating, you're figuring things out, you're constantly just in a fuss, as opposed to they're just living life and it seems to be going you know, not without its challenges, you know, your family's yelling at you in the back seat or whatever, but they're on the freeway. Same amount of fuel and it gets them way further. Yeah? So God's grace is sitting on that freeway because that's the path that he has carved for you. And the second point, once you've living in his grace, is transformation. So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Living in God's grace and aligning with his path is going to mean transformation. It's going to mean that things change. It's not just about modifying your behavior. All right, I'll stop drinking so much and I'll stop doing that. It's actually about your heart and spirit transformation. Jesus is, it's not just something you follow in terms of, okay, what are the rules? Yep, list them out. Sweet, do these things. It's actually living in his grace will change the way you think about problems and change the way you feel and therefore change the way you act. So it's about an internal transformation. It's about living out the identity that Jesus has given you about loving others and showing grace and becoming more like him. I heard a really good idea the other day that it's people shouldn't hear about you being a Christian. They should just understand that through your actions, yeah? They should just figure out, well, he must be a Christian. They must be Christian the way they're acting. There's no reason that they would be so gracious and so humble and so empathetic, which I tell you what, I find challenging in my workplace sometimes, but you shouldn't have to tell them. They should just know because you're acting in Christ. Transformation is change. Change can be really difficult. There was a saying in the army that soldiers hate two things, the way things are and change. And it can be really difficult to accept that you need to change something forever, that there's no version of you right now that's perfect. Have a think about that. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, no one's perfect, but that would also imply that there are things about you that you need to get better and change. And the way that you do that is transformation through Christ. He's carved out that model for us, and so we know what we need to achieve. It's just hard to get there. And it's not just changing behaviors. I like doing jiu-jitsu, which is kind of like wrestling. And I had a competition last year and I needed to get to a certain weight class. You know, they have like heavyweight and lightweight, and I won't say which weight class I was in, but you could probably guess. Anyway, I didn't want to be in the super heavyweights, so I had to lose some weight to get to the heavyweight. And I remember looking at how many kilograms I had to lose, and I was like, oh, man, like, I don't want to. Like, it sucks. Lara was, you know, she's super healthy. She's like, okay, what we can do is we can cut out carbs, you stop eating this, and no, so not so much of this. And I'm like, that is just horrible. I don't want to do those things. Like, so I took a much more forceful, very much approach, and I just stopped eating breakfast for like a month and a half. But I still ate all the other garbage food. So yeah, it worked. But it certainly wasn't transformation, because as soon as I did the competition, I went back to eating breakfast like a normal person and put the weight back on and whatever. That is not a transformation. That is just an external behavior. Just anyone can hold their breath for a little bit doing that kind of stuff, right? I'm not really changing and transforming my diet and being a, you know, which maybe I should. Maybe that should be my change for 2025. But, you know, anyone can hold their breath. I mean, you can see people that just coast through life and it's like they're on the fine edge of constantly. I had to deal with this guy at work, and he should write a book on how to toe the line between almost being sacked and just being good enough to not get sacked. Like, it is a razor thin line, and I don't know how he does it. I don't even know if he's consciously aware of it sometimes, but it would be a lot easier if he just leaned a little bit more towards being terrible so we could just get rid of him, or just be better so we didn't have to deal with it. It's like this fine line. Anyway, but transformation means that you need to recognize what you need to change. And God's grace will reveal that to you. God's grace will show you what you need to do. I was reading a Timothy Keller book He writes a lot of really great stuff. He said, if God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshipping an idealized version of yourself. Yeah? If you find yourself never disagreeing with God, then who are you worshipping? Probably just your own opinions. Yeah? So have a consider, you accept God's grace and you're in his love and his presence, but that also means that there is going to be a renewing of your mind and a transformation in order to align with him. The final point I have here is Philippians 10:14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of my race. The point I want to make here, the third point, is to leave your faults with Christ. Leave your faults behind. By aligning with Christ and accepting his transformation, it will highlight our faults more glaringly than if you don't live in Christ and you're just carving your own path. Yeah, it'll become very clear when you start reading scripture and you start praying to God and you're meditating on his word. You're like, oh, is that what I should be doing? Is that the way things are? I don't do that. Well, that's not me. You know, when you read some of the things what Christ says, you're like, that is a different person to me. It should highlight to you. And there's two really extremes to avoid here. The first is ignoring your faults and just dragging baggage around forever. And that's just living for yourself. So obviously, some people have that problem when you can just go, I'm absolutely fine, I'm perfect. But if you're living in God's grace, that shouldn't be a problem. The other problem on the other end of the spectrum is getting so bogged down in guilt because you read the scriptures and you understand what Christ is and you're like, I am so far off that. It is impossible. And then you feel so guilty and bogged down and what you're, oh, I thought this and I did this and I said this, and you get bogged down in your faults. The point of what Paul is making in this scripture, he says, but I press on to that perfection. He keeps moving forward. He keeps making sure he's going forward. Yeah? Water has to keep moving forward. Water flows, and if it doesn't, it stagnates. Yeah? So you have to keep pressing on. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a straight path all the time. You need to keep pressing on because recognizing that you are a work in progress and that embracing our imperfections and weaknesses is your humanity in Christ. You need to understand them and go, yep, that's fine, that's who I am, but I can be a better version of myself. I'm not going to be perfect, but I can be a better version of what I was yesterday and a better version of what I was the day before that, and keep moving forward to make sure you're aligned in Christ. It's important to know you're doing that now so you're not, I said earlier, if you're, you know, a mil off, you're going to be a mile off in a few hours. I remember being out in the bush in the Hunter Valley when I was in the army, and you have a radio network, so you can kind of hear what everyone else is up to, even if you don't see them. And it's all standard stuff you get used to. But every now and then something will stand out, and you're like, that's a strange thing to hear over the radio. It's mostly just, you know, we're closing this gate, we need resupply here, we're moving from here to here. And then one day we hear, all call signs, which is unusual. It's like, oh, that's talking to everyone. That's a lot of people. Has anyone seen a lost soldier? I'm like, oh, that's dangerous because there's people shooting all over the ranges. And I'm like, a lost soldier? Just lost. And which is kind of unusual because you're not normally by yourself in any circumstance ever. And so what had happened was some soldier had hurt himself. They'd taken him to hospital and dropped him off on the road. And they said, yep, mate, your platoon's just in the bush, like right there, like 50 meters away. And he goes, got it. And he stepped off. And so he walked into the bush and he kept walking. He just walked for like 3 hours. For some reason, he didn't think to turn back. He's just like, well, he said this way and I'm going this way. Until finally he did reach a platoon in a completely different area, like 6 kilometers away. And he's like, oh, you're not my platoon. And then that platoon was like, what are you doing here? Like, oh, aren't you 8 platoon? No, mate, what are you? Oh, I'm 6 platoon. They're like, oh. And instead of like realizing the situation, that platoon went, yeah, mate, 6 platoon's that way. He went, oh. So he turned around and he started walking back. roughly. And so by now, it's 10 o'clock at night, and the original platoon is like, when's the hospital dropping this guy off? Like, we dropped him off this morning, mate. What are you talking about? And I was like, oh, okay, we've got a lost soldier. Anyway, finally, I think the digger realized, okay, I'm lost. And so he just sat on the side of the road. He put his little hoochie up, like, you know, you teach them how to survive. So he had food. It's okay. Just lonely. And so, yeah, like, I think he slept by himself overnight just on the side of the bush. And eventually, like, people started looking and we found him on the side of the road. Just like, someone pulled over and were like, hey, are you that lost soldier? And he was like, I don't know. Am I? I'm like, I think that's a yes then. Like, I think that's you. Get in. Take you to 6th platoon. And, like, this time we didn't say he's over there. We're like, here, stand here, there, stand there. Anyway, the point is you have to keep moving forward and be aligned. Moving forward is pointless if you aren't aligned in Christ. You're going to go off track, you're going to end up a mile off course, and you're not going to know where you are. Yeah? So moving forward is great. You have to press on in Christ. It doesn't say just press on and just keep going in any direction. No, no. It says press on, it says, for the perfection which Christ has possessed for me. Align with Christ, church. Why don't we get the band up? As we go into this new year, church, consider aligning with Christ. Does your day-to-day reflect what Christ has mapped out for you? Has your life been aligned with Christ? Do you need to realign? Or are you on the track and need to just keep going? I think you really take the time to consider, are you living in His grace, His freedom, His love that you've accepted as a gift? Or are you struggling to try and work towards something that you're never going to earn? And are you being transformed? What part of you and your life and your family are you trying to work and better? And then finally, leave your faults behind. Don't get dragged down with the bog of sin and guilt. Move forward. Keep moving forward. And if you're aligned with Christ, He has great plans for you. He has a freeway of your life mapped out so that there is success and everything that you want planned. You just need to make sure you're aligned with Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We want to thank You so much for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that Your grace is available to us. You have made available Your grace that we can live in Your love, Your presence through our faith. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of Your Son and the gift of grace as we launch into 2025, aligned with You, living in Your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.